check it out now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158's Gil Alexander, along with my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, on this Monday post-divisional round, pre-championship weekend, or championship Sunday, I should say, in the NFL, and the morning of the Natty. Between Miami and Indiana tonight. Wes Reynolds will join us a little later on to discuss that, as will Adam Burke. How you doing, man? You good?
I'm good.
You're so silent.
Good morning.
You're so quiet.
I'm over here doing a little work.
What are you doing? What are you, little work? Nothing. What are you doing? Well, do you tell us? What are you doing?
Texting to Danny.
What are you texting Danny?
Just not to take this upcoming graphic, because wrong with it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Really want to go inside baseball there.
Inside baseball from the top. It's an honest show is what this is. We will talk about all of the games this weekend in the NFL in depth. Oh, my, what a weekend it was. It was not a good one for me in terms of my Houston bet. Certainly not my San Francisco one either. That wasn't fun.
Pretty good on my end. Could have been better, though.
Yeah. What'd you have again?
I was oppo you on the two sides. So Seattle, New England got home.
Nice.
But then I got involved with some props and stuff. You know, props and live betting that, meh, was about a wash.
Were you on New England, really? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good on you. Good on you. And boy, oh boy, the details, which we will get into. As we have an NFC championship between, I think, the two teams that most would say, for most of the year, at least, were considered the best two teams, not only in the NFC, but the NFL. And then in the AFC, well, the two teams that... Look, they got there, right? I'll just leave it at that.
They got there.
I don't want to make Broncos fans or Patriots fans upset, but I do think that if we're being honest, the way that the AFC shook out this year, you ended up with a team, right, with the third easiest schedule since 1978 per DVOA and the Patriots. The Broncos, who were beating the NFL dregs by one or two or three points all year long. And now they, in a year where Mahomes got hurt, where Lamar was all banged up all year long, and the Ravens had their injuries when the Chargers' offensive line was messed up. Who have I left out? Somebody else.
The Raiders?
No. They don't count.
They were just going AFC West.
Anyway, good on the Patriots, good on the Broncos. They're there. So we have, and one of those two teams is getting to the Super Bowl. And let me just say this about last year's NFL quarterback draft class. 1983 is usually considered by NFL historians as the greatest NFL draft class there ever was, led by Hall of Famers John Elway, who got to five Super Bowls, won two of them in the twilight of his career, got to three of them as maybe the greatest football player there was, but he just didn't have the supporting cast and got crushed by the Niners, Skins, and Giants, not in that order, when he was a young man. But he got to five Super Bowls, won two of them. And then Dan Marino, who only got to one Super Bowl, never won one, but broke all kinds of records, right? Then there was other quarterbacks. Tony Eason got to a Super Bowl. Ken O'Brien, Todd Blackledge, they were in there as well. So there's that. But then this class from last year, just through 2 years.
Looking pretty good.
All right. Jaden Daniels, Drake Mann, will give Bo Nix credit, right? For all three of them have gotten to a championship game in their first two seasons. And with May and Nix... And this won't be Knicks who'll do it, obviously, this week, which we'll get into. One of them has a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, extremely impressive.
Okay, in 2 years. And Caleb Williams got an overtime away from getting to a championship game, which leaves who? Penix and McCarthy. But in 2 years' time, pacing pretty well last year's quarterback class.
Yeah, for real.
Class.
For real.
That's for sure. In case you missed it this morning, the news that set Dave Ross into glee. He wants to point out to everybody, though, that he's not happy when anybody loses their job. But he is fascinated by the NFL coaching carousel. The Bills are moving on from Coach Sean McDermott after their loss in the divisional round of the Broncos, per the insiders, that from Ian Rapoport at Rap Sheet, which means that is the 10th head coaching vacancy that has existed from the end of the season on. Now, two have filled, right? Joe Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh ends up with the Giants. And Kevin Stefanski, we believe, is headed to the Falcons now. Is that official? Can we call that official?
That is official.
That is official. Okay. By the way, in the McDermott firing, Bills GM Brandon Bean will remain and help lead the search for a new coach.
Yeah, that's a little interesting.
That's interesting wording, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you stick around here for that search of the new coach? That just isn't there a, something that happens after the comma of that sentence? After which you will be tostada as well.
I don't think so.
That's such a weird sentence.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
He'll remain and help lead the search for a new coach. Well, why would you say that if he either remains for everything or he doesn't?
So the other one, Danny and I were talking about before the show. Where does that leave Joe Brady at?
Like, I don't know.
Is he in the mix for the head coaching job? Like, I think you kind of like him as your OC, but what happened? You can't bring someone else in, and he's probably jumping. I don't really know.
Is Brian Daboll back in the mix in Buffalo?
I don't know. I heard that earlier, too. I can't believe that's true. I cannot believe Brian Daboll is back in the mix. I don't believe that.
Well, only because Allen is familiar with him and they had success.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But, man, would that be a heck of a rehire?
I love the John Harbaugh to the Giants and the Kevin Stefanski to the Falcons, coaches who just had coaching jobs, obviously, in Baltimore and Cleveland, respectively. Those hirings always amuse me because it's sort of like those two franchises are saying to the other two franchises, you guys are idiots. We'll take them. Right.
Right.
And that's true of any profession where someone gets hired to be like that. The eight remaining jobs that are open: Arizona, Baltimore, Cleveland, Las Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and now Buffalo. Wow. 10 out of 32, two of which have been filled now.
I respect, like, the McDermott thing is kind of like the Tomlin thing to me, right? With these teams and franchises that go back so long and you respect winning there and everything. I get that you have this, I respect that you have the stones, I guess, Gil, to move on. But, man, the next question is immediately like, what's the plan? You had a plan, right? Like, if you're going to move on, there's a plan here, right? And I don't clearly see what it is.
Well, I think you said correctly via text this morning. What we may or may not have known all along is that if the Buffalo Bills did not get to at least the Super Bowl, Sean McDermott was done.
That's sure what this feels like. You had a chance, one more shot to make it to the Super Bowl with Josh Allen. That was all you were getting.
Should we get into the, before we go game by game, I was going to wait for each point in each game to discuss this.
Good news, Sean McDermott. There's plenty of job openings allowed
somehow. I'm glad you bring this up, though.
Yeah.
Because remember, and Joe Fortenbaugh, our buddy over at ESPN, Joe Fortenbaugh put this out as a tweet. I'm sure he was not the only one who was making this point as an Eagles fan. But his point was, tell the truth, if Nick Sirianni got fired today, how many teams would actually even interview him? I'm going to say the same thing about Sean McDermott. Do you think he's like a coveted head coaching commodity?
Interviews would be there. I don't know if it's a good point. I don't know if Stefanski's getting hired by any of these. I don't know if McDermott is.
Sirianni, you mean?
Yeah.
Stefanski already did. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a good point. I think both those guys would get interviews. I don't know that either of them would get a job.
Yeah.
There's a lot out there, man. I don't know. There's a lot out there.
And listen, all we've seen last, we do this thing on Megapod called Dumbo of the Week, right?
We do.
And we have a great guy on Twitter who tracks it all for us. Love you for that. And the name is blanking me right now, so forgive me, please. But it's a thing where we just go through the worst coaching decisions of every week. So even all these guys, but last week when there was 12 teams playing, six nominations for Dumbo of the Week, right? Half the coaches made a really stupid in-game decision. We had eight coaches this week. I think it was half of them again made like really curious from Sean McVay to D'Amico Ryans. Yesterday, I mean, there was just enough of these guys, even in their roles, right? Even the guys that are secure make really stupid decisions in game. So no one is above, reproach at times in this.
Who would you take though? McDermott, Sirianni, you got one that you would prefer over the other? Because
no.
I would take McDermott over Sirianni.
I don't know who I would take between them because I don't know that either has shined in any way in terms of, again, you get to, there's the CEO coach, which I think can be underrated, right? There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't really translate to the question that you're asking, which is, okay, who do you like? It doesn't get my juices flowing where I'm like, oh, I gotta have this CEO coach, especially in the case of a guy like Sirianni, just because he's such a petulant guy, it seems like, on the sidelines.
That's
right?
That's kind of where I would still go McDermott over him.
But that's what I'm saying. Like a guy like that's why the Harbaugh hiring, I was sort of saying, like, well, good for the Giants, you got him. It's like, does that really make you think you're going to be that much more awesome?
No idea. Yep.
Whereas Stefanski can say, well, here, I'm on this side of the ball, and this side of the ball has done very well. right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a commodity. And Ben Johnson was one of those, right? Ben Johnson last week with the sort of the panic in the first half, which he got away with. What, again, Bears right in the center of just the most awesome football game. Well, not the most awesome of the weekend, but certainly one of the more awesome finishes yet again. So, we'll get in all these. I want to say the four teams that were knocked out yesterday, so talking about, or this weekend, talking about the Bills, the Niners, the Texans, and the Bears. Give me the postscript to each of these, of all four of these seasons in one sentence.
Oh, man. Bills, what could have been?
Bills, I would say, oh, this was your year. You didn't have Mahomes in front of you.
Yep.
This was your chance.
Well, it could have been,
which
right?
I think Josh Allen's tears in the press conference sort of reflected.
49ers.
49ers, I'll tell you what mine is. You did great, guys. You got further than most people would have assumed you could have with all the injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think a lot of mine, I just keep thinking back to what we said about this team in the summertime. And it mainly all played out. Like it was, we thought they'd still rack up the wins because the schedule was kind of light. It was, we knew they were injured then. They continued to be injured. I think it went about as far as it could.
Texans, you had the best unit maybe of any unit in the NFL this year. Why can't you go far in the playoffs? Well, we could put it on a lot on one man's shoulders yesterday. And then the Bears, dude. From Merrill Hodge saying he ain't special, what a magic carpet ride this year. What a glorious season. Even yesterday in defeat, I know it hurts now. But if it was the Hail Mary, again, if that deal was made, hey, look, it's my funeral. I'm going to give the kid, just let the kid know that I'm here still. But you get next season of just miracle after miracle. What a season for the Bears, even in defeat. We'll go through all the games next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to match. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG.
ANG is in the numbers game.
Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets for VSiN hosted guests, real-time DraftKings, and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guide and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG to save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Hey, Kelly, happy MLK birthday day, by the way. A lot of folks in the casino, I could tell. I was like, oh, it's a holiday. That's right.
Oh, good call.
Yeah.
And think about that. There's a few extra people out there today.
In the words of the King Dream Chorus from the early 80s, don't play on the holiday. Work and find a better way. Are you familiar with the King Dream Chorus? I make this musical recommendation every year. In the early 80s, something was put together called the King Dream Chorus. It was like the R&B We Are the World for Martin Luther King's birthday, which had just been established as a holiday then. And it was Whitney Houston, Ella DeBarge, Stacey Ladislaw, New Edition, Stephanie Mills, Tina Marie, Lisa, JT Taylor from Kool & the Gang, Curtis Blow, Run DMC, The Fat Boys, Houdini, Grandmaster Melly Mel. Anyway, really low budget. It's hilarious because it's like on a high school stage where Whitney gets her own shot, right?
And Ella DeBarge has her own shot. Yeah.
But it's awesome. Anyway, there's my musical recommendation. We get tweets.
I had to do the full turnaround. There's been one guy in the sports book for like a week now.
Oh, this dude right here?
No. He's kind of up by the video poker machines.
Okay.
But he's got the full setup going. Like, he's got his Don Best screen up. He's got he's got sheets out. He's got another screen up. So I can't tell if he's a local or if he's just been hanging out for like the whole NFL playoffs.
Maybe he's never left.
I've noticed him every day for the past week.
We get tweets beating the book. Mortal Capper. Going to need a quick recap from the Bear, Chris Felica, on the AFCON final. Morocco stealing the goalkeeper's towel. Assaulting the backup keeper holding the towel. Controversial penalty in added time. Missed penalty on purpose, ? Truly insane game.
Wow.
Wow. I didn't know anything about any of that.
I happened to miss the AFCON final. I don't know about you.
I happened to miss it.
There's a lot going on this weekend. It was on my list, but I missed that one.
You know what I got to stop doing? Staying up till 2:45 in the morning watching the Australian Open.
Yeah, you got a long couple weeks ahead of you.
Lance Schaefer. The football gods instantly smite the Broncos and Bo Nix's ankle after the refs sinned against football, calling PI for one team and not the other in a season-ending game. Lance Schaefer has not stopped tweeting about the injustices he believes the Broncos received in that football game. Ray in Texas. Please tell me how you don't have confidence in your quarterback without telling me you don't have confidence in your quarterback by punting with 3 minutes left in the game with a chance to go to the AFC Championship. Can't pay him big money. He's talking about D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud there. Zach Tuchman. Is it Tuchman, or Tuchman? I don't know. Either way. He says, I'm a big Broncos fan. I have a hard time understanding how this line has moved 7 points. No one seems to think Bo Nix is any good when he's playing. All of a sudden, he gets injured, and people are making it seem like he's Mahomes. It's a good point, by the way, by Zach.
It's completely fair.
JD in Florida.
It's completely fair. I also kind of expect that overreaction in the playoffs.
I guess, just to let, well, we'll get to it, but I guess lower than it is. JD in Florida. If you're Tomlin, do you reconsider the year off from coaching, knowing that you get a top-tier quarterback finally in Buffalo? It's an interesting thought. He seems to be far gone, though. Could you imagine if he's like, nah, I'm going back now. I got Josh Allen.
I don't think I'd be shocked by any of it. I mean, there's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen don't have head coaches right now.
Yeah.
I would understand anybody racing for those jobs.
Sean McDermott's greatest talent was having Josh Allen.
Yes.
John Fitzgibbons, the Bills' loss was miserable. The rolling over pick, probably the right call, but oh boy. The throw it up for grabs PI against them, but not for them when Cooks was grabbed in the end zone. Josh Allen sobbing, and now McDermott fired. Is Kelly Bidlin okay?
It was a long game. It was a long game. Mike, you know what, though? I think we're going to go through them all. The Riley Moss miss was bad. I don't know. The rest of these calls, it was kind of like, all right, I guess.
Michael Kerr, Ravens better get McDermott, he says. And D. Mark B. says Elway didn't win Super Bowls until the Broncos moved on from defensive head coach Dan Reeves to offensive guru Shanahan. Get Josh Allen, his guru, and let's go. By the way, I misspoke earlier. I seemed to give Kevin Stefanski credit for the defense when, of course, he was an offensive coach. All right, let's do it. Ready? Let's get some lines for the championship Sunday. I did that old man style. Instead of saying championship Sunday, I said for the championship Sunday.
Hey, man, there you go. Conference championships.
Del Boca Vista.
All right, you ready for the early one?
Yeah.
Noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, next Sunday, Patriots at the Broncos.
Patriots at the Broncos. Well, well, well. Patriots at the Broncos. So we get the appetizers, the AFC championship, if you will. They're going to save the Rams and the Seahawks part 3 for the grand finale. If you missed it yesterday, we'll do these. We'll give each of these time to breathe. The New England-Houston game, we'll start with that when talking about the Patriots. Houston, first time with the ball again. Wintry mix yesterday in Foxborough. First play, Stroud way behind Xavier Hutchinson on a dink pass. You're like, uh-oh. Two plays later, Stroud to Kirk hits him right in the chest for a would-be first down. He drops it.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. New England, second possession then after that. Six plays, 66 yards and 318. Fourth and one at the Houston 28. May to DeMario Douglas, touchdown on fourth and one at the 28. 7-0 Patriots. Caleb Bullock actually tipped that ball a little bit. 7-0 Pats. Now Houston from their own 29. Stroud to Schultz for 42, the big chunk. They get to third and goal at the 1, but illegal shift. An illegal shift wipes out a would-be touchdown. Fairbairn, they have to settle for a Fairbairn 25-yard field goal, 7-3 Patriots, 5:27 left in the first. Then New England with a 3-and-out because May was hit by Danielle Hunter on third. He fumbled it, and Will Campbell recovered it after a loss of 20 back at the New England 3. This was the other thing that went down with the Patriots and the Texans yesterday. Can you recover a fumble, Texans? Good God. I think I speak for everybody about the Texans in that game. Anyway, Houston from the New England 47 on second down, Stroud hit in the face, no call. Buck and Aikman don't even mention it. Then after a great Higgins catch on third, fourth and inches at the New England 38, Chubb for 2. Next play, though, first and 10 the New England 36, Stroud, bad throw, picked by a diving Carlton Davis. Uh-oh. The uh-ohs are mounting. New England second play, second and 5 at their own 23, May for 4, hit by Tommy Togiai. Ball pops out, recovered by Togiai. Houston set up at the New England 27. Six plays, Stroud to Christian Kirk from 10 out, a little behind him, no problem. Still catches it, 10-7 Texans. 12:51 left of the second quarter. Next time Houston had the ball, first play, first and 10, their own 25. Schultz is out now. Harrison Bryant's in. Milton Williams of the Patriots pushes Errante Urseri back. He trips Bryant. Bryant falls. Stroud under pressure from Kalavon Jason throws it away, throws it anyway as he gets hit. What are you doing? Up for grabs, Marcus Jones, 26 yards of the house, 14-10 Patriots with 10:31 left in the second quarter. And it's at this point where I start thinking about all the times last week I said sarcastically about Stroud's performance against the Steelers. Wild card round, he can't play any worse than that, right? Dude. Question mark, comma, right? Houston, second 11 at their own 36, Stroud high to Hutchinson, deflects into the hands of Craig Woodson. Remember, New England's up 14-10 at this point. They're set up at the Houston 48, but they go nowhere after a second down sack by Anderson, 3 and out. Next time New England had the ball, they go 5 plays, 56 yards, 2 minutes and 48 seconds, made a booty for 25 and 18. Along the way to Diggs from 7 out, great catch, 21-10 Patriots with 3:12 left in the second quarter. Then, after Stroud, like there were so many picks he was lucky not to have also, by the way. 2 minute warning, though, 1st and 10, the New England 49. Stroud throws a lazy pass behind Xavier Hutchinson, picked by Carlton Davis again. But New England with a 3 and out. The Houston defense single-handedly keeping the Texans in this game. If they weren't the Houston defense, this would have been a blowout already. Instead, New England from the Houston 45 with 36 seconds left in the quarter, but May immediately sacked by Anderson. He fumbles. Texans somehow can't come up with that one either. Will Campbell with another recovery? Hail Mary eventually picked by Jamarcus Ingram in the end zone. So 4 Houston turnovers to 2 for New England. Remember, New England could have had 4-2, but Will Campbell landed on the fumbles. Of those 4 turnovers and those 2 turnovers, it was really only 7-7 off the turnovers. Mm-hmm. Third quarter. Houston, on their first drive, squanders a timeout on offense inside the red zone. They have to settle for a Fairbairn 25-yard field goal on 4th and 2 at the 7. 21-13. Patriots, 9:52 left in the third quarter. New England, third play. May's arm whacked blindside by Anderson. Fumbles for the 4th time, only the 2nd loss, this time recovered by Azeez Al-Shaair. Houston says, watch this. 2nd and 8 at the New England 17. Mark stripped by Gonzalez. Craig Woodson recovers. Good God, what are we watching? Fairbairn would get it to 21-16 in the closing minutes of the third quarter. Now the wintry mix is full snow. Patriots go 71 yards, 3rd and 4th at Houston 32. Made a booty. What a catch. One-handed in the end zone. 28-16 Patriots with 12:58 left. Houston has to expend another timeout on offense and a 3 and out. And after Tommy Townsend's 72-yard punt that pins New England at the 4, Tre'Mont Smith with a great save at the 2, scooping the ball backwards. But they couldn't get the New England offense off the field. They got 3 first down before they punt. And then Houston with only 1 timeout because they squandered those 2 earlier from their own 14, down 12 with 5:48 left. They punt it with 4:17 left, down 12, 4th and 18 at their own 21. White flag waving. Yep. What are you doing? They'd get it back one more time with 1:45 left. 4th and 4, their own 47. Hutchinson open deep, underthrown by Stroud. What a fitting way to end the game. By the way, Mary Kay Cabot, Texans, she's a Cleveland reporter. Texans haven't been able to parlay their bounty from the Deshaun Watson trade with the Browns, 3 first-round picks, a net of 5 overall, into anything more than 3 wild-card victories. Cleveland inserting themselves. There you go.
Still nice to have that defense going forward, though.
We'll get to that Denver side of the equation next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
PropitX, the number one place for college basketball player props. They offer all players in all schools in every state. PropitX is available. As we get closer to March Madness, take advantage of PropitX's 20% purchase match. Download PropitX now and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started. We get tweets of beating the book. I'm going to just read a few of these because I got to get to the Bills game. Anthony Tritolo, I just wanted to say that Samo Bomb, Mike Samich, and Matt Brown did a great job both Saturday and Sunday on their show talking about each game.
I'm sure they did.
They're awesome, those two.
Those two are great.
They're awesome. Paul M., McDermott should have been gone a while ago. Just see a defensive guy who has a bad defense, but the GM not being able to draft or find a top-end wide receiver is baffling. We drafted Caden Prather, Keon Coleman, Justin Shorter, Shakir, Marquez Stevenson, and Isaiah Hodgins last 5 years.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
Sly Bry, Eagles fans, is regarding Sirianni. 5 years, 5 playoff appearances, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl victory. There are about 27 teams who wish their coach was that awful. Yeah, Brian, I think most people give Howie Roseman the credit, though, for compiling that roster more than they do Sirianni, but it's a point. Wegs pull for Houston. Don't you have to go with Mills at some point in the game? Stroud was broken in the first half. He played better in the second, but ball security is a premium in the playoffs. Wegs pull, I will just say this. I was absolutely in that course at halftime. I was like, we just saw in the Pittsburgh game 4 quarters and the first 2 quarters of that game yesterday, we just saw 6 of the worst quarters of football you are ever likely to see.
Kid was broken. I'm shocked it carried over to a second game.
Oh my God, that stage was way too big for him.
I was thinking the same thing at halftime. I guess what my thought was in the second half was, all right, CJ Stroud, this is arguably for your job going
forward.
Wow.
You see that debate at halftime? Swag, Marcus Spears was on the get him out of there side, and Ryan Clark vociferously stumping that he needed to stay in the game. Oh, yes. Nemesis Enforcer odds on King Chorus mention. Me and wifey play King Holiday Video every year. Big New Edition fans. Yeah, man, you know. If you know, you know. And the great Swami Gator. Wow, is this true? Yes, it is. Now with the Sean McDermott firing, Mike Vrabel, hired 372 days ago, is now the AFC East's longest tenured head coach. There you go. Let's do it. Ready? This is, so we did the New England part of this. New England's at Denver. The Mishugas that was the Denver-Buffalo game. Denver starts from their own 26, 13 plays, 59 yards in 7 minutes and 31 seconds. They get to 4th and inches at the Buffalo 18. Knicks for 4. Next play, Jaleel McLaughlin fumbled, nullified by an offside. 2 plays later, Lil Jordan Humphrey just straight drops a would-be touchdown pass from Knicks. They have to settle for a Lutz field goal, 3-0 Broncos halfway through the first. Buffalo from their own 33 then, 12 plays, 67 yards in 7:23. Cook for 24 to start, then for 10. Allen to Shakir for 11, 4th and 1 at the Denver 2. Allen for 1, 2 plays later, Allen to Hardman. Mecole Hardman from 4 out, 7-3 Bills, 5 seconds left in the first quarter. 2 big drives the entire quarter, 1 from each team, 7-3 Buffalo Bills. By the way, Denver's next drive, Knicks, remember that first play, he sort of fumbled the snap or recovered his own fumble, then threw an incomplete pass awkwardly, so it was a 3-and-out. Could have been bad for the Broncos there. So Buffalo, next drive, second play, they're up 7-3. Allen upfield for 26, but the next play, 1st and 10, the Denver 32. Cook is stuck by Alex Singleton. Fumbles recovered by Talanoa Ufanga. Denver from their own 31 now, still down 7-3. McLaughlin for 13 to start, 2 plays later. Harvey for 12, 2 plays after that. Knicks to Mims for 27, and 2 after that, Knicks for 11. Then on 3rd and 1, Knicks to Frank Crum, tackle eligible from 7 out. 10-7, Broncos, 9:33 left in the second quarter. Buffalo from their own 17, Allen to Cooks for 15 on 3rd and 10 at the Denver 30, the big play. 3rd and 9 to 14, Coleman drops a pass in the end zone. Your guy, Kelly, Keon Coleman. Ugh. There was a holding anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. But Denver declines the penalty as a result of the drop. They settle for a Prater 33-yard field goal. 10-10, 2:13 left in the quarter. Then Denver with 2:06 left from their own 30, 11 plays, 70 yards and 151. Knicks to Mims for 6 on 3rd and 3 at their own 27. 3 plays later, Knicks for 6 on 3rd and 3. Then Knicks to Mims for 15 on 3rd and 10 at the Buffalo 44. 2 plays later, with Darnell Savage in at safety, Knicks rolls right. Savage overplays it to Humphrey from 29 out, 17-10 Broncos with 22 seconds left in the quarter. You're like, wow, what a dagger that is before the end of the half. Mm-hmm. Oh, there was another dagger coming. Buffalo 1st and 10, their own 30 with 16 seconds left. In this day and age in the NFL, you somehow decide to yourself, well, we could still score. 5 years ago?
Yeah, dude.
You never even try anything here.
No, a year ago. 5 years ago.
That's what I'm saying.
I would have been way more shocked a year ago at them not just taking a knee and going out.
Allen runs for 4 yards, but he's too casual with the ball, holds it with one hand. Benito hits his arm, fumbles, recovered by Devon Key. Set up for a Lutz 50-yard field goal. Good. 20-10 Broncos at the half. Those 3 points would end up being the difference.
Sure, that won't matter in the end.
Broncos scored 10 points the last 22 seconds of the first half. Oh, boy. Third quarter. Buffalo, second play. Benito from behind. Strip sacks Allen. Recovered by Malcolm Roach. Denver set up at the Buffalo 17, but a 3-and-out. Lutz, 33-yard field goal. They had to settle for that. 23-10 Broncos, 11:35 left in the third quarter. Then Buffalo goes 9 plays, 73 yards. Allen to Kincaid for 25, the big chunk. On the second play, 7 plays later, Allen to Coleman from 10 out. He dives into the end zone, redeems himself. 23-17 Broncos now with 6:49 left in the third. Then Denver, 3rd play, 3rd and 5 at their own 40. Knicks throws it right to Deion Walker of the Bills, who drop back into coverage. Buffalo set up at the Denver 36. 2nd play, 2nd and 14 at the Denver 40. Allen picked deep by PJ Locke, who returns at 30 yards. Denver decides then to eschew, Kelly, the 58-yard field goal try and punt to the football at that point. And we're going to the fourth quarter. And Tony Romo says to Jim Nantz out loud, "Ooh, here we go, Jim." 2nd play, 4th quarter, 2nd and 10, their own 38. Allen to Shakir for 46, mostly yak. Or as Romo and Nance refuse to say yak, they always say rack. 3 plays later, 3rd and 8 at the Denver 14. Allen to Kincaid, touchdown, great pass and catch. The Buffalo Bills lead it 24-23 with 13:24 left. Then after a Denver 3-and-out, Buffalo from their own 20 with 11:50 left. They get it to 1st and 10, the Denver 14. But Denver holds on defense, and Buffalo settles for a Prater 31-yard field goal, 27-23 with 4:11 left. Oh, the drama. Denver from their own 27 with 4:06 left in all three of their timeouts. Fourth play, third and 11, their own 37. Buffalo doesn't send any pressure, so Knicks eats them up to Sutton for 25, to the Buffalo 38, to the two-minute warning. So Buffalo now, Denver now at this point has to be thinking to themselves, how do we go 38 yards in as much of the 2 minutes left as possible?
Right.
So Josh Allen doesn't have a chance here. Three plays later, Knicks for 6 on 3rd and 4. Romo says he's almost positive it's 4-down territory. I'm almost positive it's 4-down territory, Jim. Really? Now, Denver's got to figure out, how do we go 26 yards and as close to the remaining 101 as possible? Yeah, they're not thinking that. Knicks to Mims for 26, touchdown Broncos, 30-27, 55 seconds left. So Buffalo from their own 27 with all three timeouts, 50 seconds left, needing a field goal to tie. First play, Allen flips it underhand to Kincaid for 9, timeout, then incomplete, then offside, first down, own 41 with 37 seconds left, incomplete, 32 seconds left, second down, hook and lateral, or colloquially, hook and ladder, never fails. Allen to Shakir for 3, flips to Ray Allen for 24 more. They're in field goal range at the Denver 32 with 24 seconds left. Buffalo timeout. Allen takes a shot in the end zone, incomplete after Cook slows up. Second down with 19 seconds left, incomplete. Third down with 16 seconds left, overthrows Knox, who might have scored, but definitely would have been giving them a chip shot field goal try. Prater has to kick a 50-yarder to tie it. Boom. Right down the pipe. What a player he's been in these playoffs.
We were worried about him.
We were worried about him because he had the quad injury. 30-30, we're going to overtime. Now, at this point, the broadcast asked Gene Steratore to explain the overtime rules. He couldn't have done a worse job with it. Gene Steratore says, hey, fellas, we're just playing a new game. Only thing that changes here, guys, that replays come from upstairs. No, Gene, it's not that way. Both teams get a possession, and if we're tied, we continue play. Everyone agrees then on the broadcast that kicking is the right thing to do. None of them mentioned that there is a case to be made for having the possession third as well.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me crazy.
As we've been talking about all season.
Oh, God. Denver ends up punting on 4 plays. Buffalo needs just a field goal now. Now it is sudden death, right? Need a field goal to win. From their own 7, they convert 3rd and 5 of their own 12. Allen to Kincaid for 13. Then 3rd and 7 of their own 28. Allen to Davis for 9. But 3rd and 10 at their own 36, a play that will live in infamy. Allen deep to Cooks. It looks like it's going to be what amounts to a game-winning catch because they'll be in field goal range. But somehow, Jaquan McMillan comes down with it after they roll over. It's ruled a pick. Carl Sheffers, official after the game. The receiver has to complete the process of a catch. He was going to the ground as part of the process of the catch, and he lost possession of the ball when he hit the ground. The defender gained possession of it at that point. The defender was the one who completed the process of the catch, so the defender was awarded the ball. Denver from their own 20, next score win, second play, 2nd and 7 of their own 23. Knicks to Harvey for 24, mostly yak. 2 snaps later, PI, next snap, 1st and 10, the Buffalo 36. Knicks runs for a 2-yard loss, a nondescript play to everyone watching, but apparently the play that might color the bottom line of the season. Apparently he fractured his ankle on it. Snap after, PI on Tre'Davious White, down to the 8. 1 kneel down, White spikes his helmet, unsportsmanlike, half the distance, Lutz, 24-yard field goal, ball game. 33-30 Broncos in a instant classic. And Bills fans, not going to be happy about it. Jim Nance after the game, Nick somehow finds a way, ignoring Buffalo's 5 turnovers. Josh Allen, falls to 0-7 in his career in overtime games.
Oof.
And then an hour after the game or so, Adam Schefter tweets that Bo Nix suffered a season-ending broken bone in his ankle during overtime. You talk about highs and then lows for Broncos fans. My goodness.
Yeah.
I'll guess this one. I'll tell you what I guessed and what it is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil and Kelly from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Tom Pelissero clarifying the Buffalo Bills situation after Sean McDermott's firing this morning. Terry Pegula, the owner of the Bills, and also, by the way, the father of one of the top 5 women's tennis players in the world.
Who? No way!
Announces not only is Sean McDermott out as head coach, but Brandon Bean has been promoted to president of football operations /GM, and will oversee the coaching staff, a new vertical reporting structure. There you go.
Well, they made that part really clear. For those of us asking about Bean and why he's still there, they're going to stand by him there, Gil. I've got this from Ben Solak. How about, since drafting Josh Allen in 2018, the Bills have drafted 56 players. 56. 2 of them have made Pro Bowls.
That's brutal.
James Cook and Dawson Knox.
That is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we could talk about this game.
What about since you gave a parameter.
Since Josh Allen, since Josh Allen. I'm kind of surprised Dalton Kincaid still hasn't made it. Even just, I know he's only been in the league a couple years, but still. Man, there's a lot we could talk about with that game. There is Josh Allen. I'm not gonna sit here and not give you any blame today. There's a lot of bad turnovers there.
He knew it.
I've been defending you all year, where you got a really bad roster to deal with, and that was very evident in that game yesterday. But man, you turned the ball over at bad times too.
He's a human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, again, here's the Josh Allen history. I just mentioned 0-7 career in overtime, 0-3 in the playoffs. Here's his playoff history, or every season's history, including 2018 when they missed the playoffs. Lost wild card round, lost AFC title game at Kansas City, lost divisional round at Kansas City, lost divisional round versus Cincy, lost divisional round versus Kansas City, lost AFC title game at Kansas City. So that's all Mahomes and one Burrow in there. And I guess there's a Houston one at the very beginning of that. And then yesterday. So that was the year, right? That was the Jordan is playing baseball Akeem Olajuwon year. Was this year for him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out.
Look, I still think, it's their worst roster they've had in a couple years.
Yes.
Around him. But, man, the opportunity was there. I mean, we said it all last week. They're relying on him to be Superman, and he's got to go out there and do it every single time. And like you just said, he's a human being at the end of the day. He's not.
Starkey fan on Twitter. Are you surprised the Bears didn't go for two with 18 seconds to go last night? Home dog likely less than 50% to win in overtime. Three of five on twos this year. Coach with penchant for aggressiveness. I was thinking about it the whole way through. Didn't think there were a score. Obviously, they did, which we'll get to. I thought it was 50-50. That I just didn't know. I didn't know if he would have the stones to do it.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of people say it this way, and I'm about to say it the exact same way. I totally thought he was going to go for two. I think a lot of us were thinking the entire last drive, what happens right here, right, if they score. Yes. I totally thought he was going to. Did I think he should? I thought it was more 50-50.
It's like
and then hearing him after the game.
I'll say the same thing I said about Sean McDermott last week when people were like killing him for not kneeling and milking the clock. People underestimate the human brain element of this,
yep.
Which is if this doesn't work, if Sean McDermott kneels it out, somehow they get a false start or a holding penalty or whatever, and they don't end up scoring the touchdown last week against Jacksonville, the downside of that from a human perspective, it will sit with you for the rest of time.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Johnson might have had a little inkling of that yesterday when he thought about, if we don't get this two, I'm going to have to live with this.
So that's what I was kind of thinking about in the moment. Listen to him.
I'm not saying it's right in either case. No, I'm saying that's why I think the decisions were made.
I know. No, and that's what I was thinking, too, when it happened during the game. Listening to him after the game, though, I just believe him because he was basically like, look, we didn't have a play for that. Like you saw, and I didn't have much faith in what we saw in the
very
last
honest.
Play. I think that's
very
pretty
honest.
True.
Kevin Ryan, Gil, how is it the fault of the head coach? Talking about Sean McDermott here. When his team turns the ball over five times and still has a chance to win the game. I think it all goes back to the Chiefs' loss, he says, when he should have instructed his kicker to not kick the ball in the end zone. Spence, bet a nickel. Musetti up to +850 to win his quarter, riding with the best tennis handicapper in the game on this one. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. Yesterday, what happened in my Australian Open betting. Have you ever had this in betting? This is a truism for me. They used to say this in baseball. When I win a game I'm not supposed to, like I get lucky, I know it's like, oh man, I'm about to have 2 weeks of awesomeness.
Oh yeah.
But if I lose or don't get paid on something, it's like, oh no, the rest of this evening is going to be a crap show. So the Australian Open was going great match by match. And then yesterday I had Priscilla Hahn, Australian, cutie pie playing. She's up 5-3 in the third and her opponent gets carted off. So we don't get paid on it. And I knew at that point, I'm like, oh, the rest of this night is going to suck. And sure enough, we had Marcus Giron. It was up 2-1 and up a break in the fourth. 4-3. He gacked it. Two other players who were up a set, they gacked it. I was like, it's all because of the Han thing.
That's awful. You and I were talking about it earlier in the season with the NBA because I had one of those. It's like I got really lucky on the ending of one game and set up like the next like four or five wins.
Steve the Proxy. Understated is that McDermott ended a 17-year drought in Buffalo before Allen. He's a culture builder. He made mistakes, didn't get over the hump, but Bean poorly managed the roster after the Allen second contract. Both should go, but McDermott deserves another job. Kind of what you were saying.
I mean, I think there's that about him and Tomlin, right? Like we could say everything we want about him, but look at what happened before McDermott got there. It is a long stretch of nothingness there at Buffalo.
You just brought up Tomlin. We said this off air. D'Amico with the wave the white flag punt this week. Tomlin with the wave the white flag punt last week.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I mean, don't get me wrong. Both situations thought the game was completely over, but man, it's tough to see that in a playoff
and,
game.
And in both cases, the only justification for both is we're so bad on offense,
right,
that it's actually a better chance for us to win with some turnover that our defense generates. JD in Florida, up at 5 a.m. this morning to watch Joker and a great five setter on the men's side. I think he's probably talking about Popperin winning. Hardcore tennis to start the year is great. It is great. But, dude, I got to go to sleep. I was watching Iga at 245 last night. What am I doing? Tim Bowers. I've always thought never bets lists were silly, but Houston, CJ, and D'Amico got me repeating. I do declare I'm not betting Houston next year versus good defenses. CJ being bad is covering up D'Amico's game management skills more than it should. So what happened to CJ Stroud? He's so bad in these games.
That's tough. A little tough to watch, honestly.
Jayhawk 0822. With Xavier Lucas out the first half, does Miami, we'll talk about the Natty tonight, which we'll talk with Wes Reynolds about here momentarily, does Miami look to receive the ball first to limit the number of plays Indiana has without him? Indiana defers anywhere we can bet Miami gets ball first or just take them first quarter. Yeah, that's how you would bet that kind of thing. If you are in any football game, if you have reason to believe based on team tendencies or what you think is going to be a team strategy to think a ball, it is more likely that one team will get the ball than the other. First quarter bets are usually the way to go. Ben Handorf, with Coleridge Stroud Jr. eligible for an extension this offseason, is it time to lock in with the kid or roll the dice on another option? As you've pontificated before, these teams are in tough, but do they handcuff themselves with a big contract on a shaky quarterback? Man, after seeing this, I do not know that you can. I really don't.
I think it's part of the only explanation of why he's out there in the second half is we got to know what we have with this guy going forward if we're going to offer him.
That's kind of what Ryan Clark was saying.
Yeah.
He was better in the second half, but not much. Jack Olaquire. Gil, if the rollover interception, I'm glad it's coming up. Gil, if the rollover interception is allowed in the Buffalo game, then it has to be allowed in the Bears game. Same exact plan. The team on the short end of those calls lose both game changing calls. Somehow the NFL has to figure it out. Jack, I respectfully disagree. They are not the same play. And I want everybody, it's amazing to me how everybody, you know, people are so emotional and wrapped up in their bets maybe or their fanhood. Those two plays are different. I know you want to make the NFL out to be this inconsistent name, but those two plays are different. In the case of the Cooks play, he has not made the catch yet. He's going to the ground, and as Carl Sheffer said, the defender completed the catch, if you will. So the people who say, wait a minute, Cooks has the ball, his knee is down, the play should end there. No, because he hasn't completed the catch yet. It's not his possession. That's why it was ruled how it was ruled. Denver got the football. In the case of Devontae Adams made a catch, made a football move, then went to the ground on the rollover. He was ruled to have made the catch already, then have a knee down by contact. They are not the same play. Hope everybody understands that. Lance Schaefer, Texans would have been closer to winning if they just handed the ball off all game. The D got them the ball in field goal range a few times. Stroud gave them 7 points on a pick six. They may not have won, but it would have been real close. Lance, you're 100% right. We actually said that out loud during the game. If the Texans just ran the ball into the line a few times, it might be better. They might be better off. And that said, how amazing is this Texans D? Because with all those turnovers,
that's wild.
All five of them, New England only scored 7 points off them on that pick six.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I kept, you know, for the while that it was 21-16, right? God, I was sitting there saying to myself, how the hell is this a one-score game, right? This
is amazing.
The Texans are a touchdown away from winning this football game.
Super Jerk has chimed in. I've never seen a playoff quarterback miss as bad as this kid yesterday. Talk about Stroud. He was so bad he got his wide receiver hurt. I would have yanked him at halftime. Let the chips fall where they may for next year's quarterback. Boudin boy. Tough find in Alabama, but finally picked one up. We'll open it up for New Year's Eve this year. Thanks for the recommendation. He's talking about a bottle of wine that Drew recommended on the Australian Open podcast. And Neil Hanlon, or maybe on a numbers game, was where he recommended that one. Neil Hanlon, hey guys, awesome show. Kelly looking great, man. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, where does this put Drake May in terms of top quarterbacks in the NFL? Oh, he'd be up there. He's already up there, right? But that would catapult him into a different kind of stratosphere, mm-hmm, for sure. Even I would have to admit that. We'll come back. We'll continue because we got another game or two to get to. And then college football, the national championship tonight between Miami and Indiana. I got to do the responsible thing and take Miami plus the points to try to hit a middle. Coming up on a numbers game.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Heyo.
In the hizzy. Kelly Bidelon on Twitter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why he spells it that way. He just does.
Weird.
Wes Reynolds coming up. Wes Reynolds coming up. Talk national championship. We'll find out, will he get in the stadium tonight? I have no idea. I'm going to go minus 550. No.
I haven't talked to him.
Yeah.
Physically talked to him since last week. So there's a very good chance things have developed this weekend that he either got a ticket or has completely given up hope and did days ago.
At least he gets to hang out there.
Yeah, that's all he cares about.
With fellow Hoosiers fans. He cares about,
I can't wait to see the stadium tonight.
I want to get his objective. I know he's an Indiana fan, but I want to get his objective thoughts on how this game's going to go tonight. What has to happen for each team to win, so on and so forth. We will talk to him coming up. We'll get to that moment. Let me just read a couple of tweets. Quick draw McGraw. Enjoy a cup of Joe at home on a holiday and listening to Gillen on VSiN Live. Life is good. Talk me off the ledge. Firing on the Canes. First half and full game money line. Haven't placed anything yet, but feel like Miami's a live dog tonight. You are not alone, Quick Draw. A lot of people feeling this way about the game tonight. As an Indiana ticket holder, I am definitely taking Miami plus the points. Because I just, by the way, that line has gone from 8.5 to 7.5 back to 8.5.
So I was waiting to bring this up. This is kind of curious to me. Everywhere I'm looking at on my odd screen right now says 7.5, except for one shop who doesn't often take a stand by themselves.
DraftKings.
It's at 8.5.
Yeah. Who knows?
There are cheap 7.5s out there.
Primetime. Hashtag Leon Sanders, yo. Happy MLK Day from the Malibu of the Midwest, where it's -5 Fahrenheit, -30 wind chill. Perfect surfing conditions on the lake. If you, Kelly, and Whale Capper need something to do today, I'll even provide the brown liquor along with a Fresca for Gilly. Peace, love, and yos. Danny, how about a Fresca?
The Malibu of the Midwest.
Brosec 1870. Went all in on the Pats, -6.5 after Stroud's first throw. It was so ugly, you know he didn't have it again. Got some crazy looks when cheering on that last drive. The great Swami Gator adds, completed the catch yet is so ambiguous in the NFL. It's just so bad. You're right. It is. Tim Bowers, while I agree on the differences in the controversial interception type plays yesterday, the NFL has conditioned fans to now know what a catch is for so long now. It isn't a surprise that fans get confused. I'm with you on that. I understand why everyone's confused. But I thought yesterday people were getting a little too emotional about their positions. I was like, okay, it's kind of clear, guys.
Well, I think if they happened in opposite order, we wouldn't even have cared as much. Like, I didn't think that Davante Adams one was. I thought that was pretty clear. We were talking about during the break. It just the one in Buffalo makes the football brain hurt.
But it does.
But after I saw it a couple times, you're like, I guess that's the call. Like, that's the right call.
Again, one is ruled as the Davante is a catch, and then a football motion, and then knee on ground. Brandon Cooks was never ruled to have made the actual catch, so that contact comes into play. The defender completed the catch.
Having said all that, I'm going to say something, Gil, that people don't want to hear, especially football fans. You got to sell this stuff more, players. I don't care if you want to call it flopping, acting, whatever. When there's something, you got to act like that it's going against you and that you had every right. Like Brandon Cooks, there's so many of these guys that like they just kind of gave up on it. No, go crazy there, Brandon Cooks. Go crazy. It might influence things. You never know.
good Jack Buck you just did there. Go crazy, fans. Go crazy.
There are multiple times this weekend where I'm like, you got to sell that better.
Colin Murphy, a little listener on listener help. He says, if you can find a team to score first market available offshore, so if team to score first market rather than betting the first quarter, that'd be a way to go. I would agree. There have been so many times where my handicap was right about the coin toss and I lose because the team I bet kicks a field goal and gives up a touchdown. Yes. Score first is a good market to find if you can find it, usually offshore. All right. By the way, I never gave my guess. Oh, go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say my favorite tweet I got all weekend. I think we were halfway through this game, Patriots-Bills game. No, I'm sorry. It was yesterday. And it was I gotta find who sent it now, but it was somewhere out there. Kelly Bidlin saying, "Why do they play all these games inside?"
That's right. I've thought about you too. I'm like, can you believe Bidlin wants all of this in air condition?
And then you saw the first half of that Patriots game.
Yes, it's awesome. How do you not think turnovers in the first half?
It was crazy.
That's
crazy
football. Not everything is basketball. It's football.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I never gave my guess on this, and with the playoff guessing lines, I give a guess at home, and then I find out what it is. I guessed -4, knowing, okay, by the way, so because of that unbelievable news, and we haven't stressed it enough, I cannot, there is no equivalent for what happened to the Broncos. You win a football game, you advance the conference championship game, none of us believes any, we're not even thinking about anything, and then an hour after the game, Adam Schefter says, oh yeah, he broke his ankle, he's done. Bo Nix. Wow. But I agree with the tweet earlier. My guess was, okay, it's going to be Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham, who has started 4 games lifetime, the last of which, the most recent of which, was week 18 in 2023. But I do agree a little bit with the tweeter who said, hey, yeah, everybody was killing Bo Nix. Now all of a sudden he's Patrick Mahomes. Should it move this much? I said Patriots -4. And it is Patriots -5.5 still.
It's starting to come back down a little bit. I mean, what we topped out at. It hit 6 at a couple
Good
shops,
God.
I believe, yesterday. Like, 5.5, it's 4.5 or 5.5 out there everywhere.
Yeah, it's a little high to me. I get it, but it's a little high.
I completely understand.
Yeah.
It has swung. I think it's too much.
Yeah.
I think it's too much. I think it's the playoffs. Books will dare you to go bet that.
All right, let's do the next one.
They know the wave of Patriots money that's likely to come in.
NFC Championship, Rams at Seahawks, part 3.
Yep.
The rubber match at Seattle for the NFC Championship and a trip to the Super Bowl. We'll do the Rams part of this. Rams at the Bears. Flurries, 19 degrees. Felt like 7 at kickoff. 12-mile-per-hour winds. Chicago first play. Caleb to DJ Moore for 34. 4th-and-3, though, at the Rams 21. Caleb picked by Kobe Durant. By the way, Caleb in the process jammed his finger into Kobe Turner's hand. He's also hit in the face by Turner. It was uncalled. But anyway, there's a 4th-and-short just outside the red zone. They go for it. They fail. Michael Montesano losing his mind on Twitter that they should be kicking field goals. Rams, 14 plays, 85 yards and 633. Kyren in from 4, 7-0 Rams, 6:20 left first quarter. Chicago then goes 12 plays, 80 yards and 625. First play of the second quarter, 4th-and-goal at the 3. They go for it again. Caleb looking to DJ Moore, touchdown. 7-7, 5 seconds left in the second quarter. The field goal crowd fails to mention that they went for it on that one and got a touchdown. Chicago, 2 drives later, 4th-and-1 at the 32. Curl and Landman stuff Manungai for no gain after Swift was stuffed by Curl the previous play on 3rd-and-1. So we're still 7-7. Rams on a drive aided by a... Okay, this is where the broadcast got a little weird. Did you all notice this? Do you notice this, Kelly? The Rams on a drive aided by a phantom illegal use of the hands call against Davante Adams that clearly replay showed wasn't illegal use of the hands... and never got mentioned again, let alone explained. Gave the Rams a first down, but then eventually that departed.
So this is the one that like we didn't see, and they brought it up late, right?
It brought up late, explain it. We saw the replay. There was no illegal use of the hands, and we just kind of moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Then Chicago from their own 38 after the punt with 2:54 left in the second quarter. They have 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. Caleb Tunze for 27 to start. This was the other part. Then they settle for a Santos 48-yard field goal, which none of us saw because the cameraman lost the ball. I was like, what are we watching? Yeah. What's going on with this broadcast?
Yeah, that was funky. That was. I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen that. I was like, when? I didn't see the ball go
in. Where's the ball? I don't know. Went in. 10-7. Bears. Rams from their own 20 with 2 timeouts, 1:05 left in the quarter, and a double dip chance. They get it to 1st and 10. The Chicago 14 after a stupid unnecessary roughness penalty on Jervon Dexter Sr. knocking Coleman Shelton to the ground after the previous play was whistled dead. But the Bears withstand 3 shots into the end zone. They settle for a Mevis 32-yard field goal, 10-10. Thicker kicker, 10-10. Mevis has missed 1 kick all year, field goals or extra points, since he became a Ram kicker. 3rd quarter, it's 10-10. This is the second time the Rams have the ball. Rams have a 3-and-out. And at this point in the game, Kelly, I am among the many who are screaming at the TV, why are we not running the football? The Rams had 11 carries to this point in the game.
Yeah, it was very odd.
Sean McVay, what are you doing? Even Sean McVay is not above or is not beyond reproach. Like, what were you doing?
Question about it postgame, and admitted to it too.
He did.
He was like, I didn't have a good feel for the game. He's like, I didn't call a good game. He's like, I finally felt like we were getting things going late in the second half.
10-10, Chicago now. 2nd-and-15 at their own 30. Caleb, who had been starting to play with fire, picked by Kobe Durant. Rams set up at midfield. Incomplete, incomplete, incomplete. 3-and-out. What are we doing, McVay? Run the ball. Chicago punt after Manungai hit by Verse. for a one-yard loss on third and one at their own 46. Then the Rams go 14 plays, 91 yards from their own nine after three Kyren runs. Imagine. Stafford to Colby Parkinson for 35. Three plays later, third and six at the Chicago 41 to Nakua for 13. Two plays later, second and 10 at the Chicago 28 to Devontae for 12. That was the controversial one where Collinsworth goes, Bills fans are going to want to see how this one goes. Then Kyren, third and one, incomplete in the end zone. Fourth and one at the Chicago 7. Nakua for 2 on a jet sweep. Then Kyren in from 5, touchdown. 17-10 Rams with 8:50 left. 7 of 14 plays on that drive to Kyren Williams on the ground. Then Chicago after a huge 3rd and 10 catch by Adunze for 17 with a roughing the passer on verse tacked on half the distance. First and goal at the 6, at the 5, Swift for 2, then Swift for another 2, then Swift upended for no gain by Darius Williams. 4th and goal at the 2, Caleb inside throw for Burton, busted up by Omar Spates. Then the Rams at their own 2 with 3:03 left in the 4th quarter. Chicago has all 3 timeouts and a 2-minute warning. 1st and 10, Kyren for 2, Bears use the first timeout. Next play, though, Kyren goes for 10. New set of downs, but he goes out of bounds. 1st and 10 at their own 14 with 2:52 left. Kyren for 2. The Bears elect not to use a timeout. Clock keeps going. Stafford then snaps the ball with 6 seconds left on the play clock. Like, both teams are doing weird things. Kyren for 2. Timeout with 2:06 left. And then the Rams with 2:06 on the clock decide to run it. Kyren for 3. Why not pass there? Go for the dagger, because you know the 2-minute warning is coming up anyway.
Yep.
So they got a punt. Chicago from midfield with 1 timeout. Second play to Loveland for 18. Then Swift for 12 to the 20. Clock moving to Burton for 6. Clock keeps moving. Incomplete. Intended for Burton. 31 seconds. Third and fourth. LA 14. Will they go for 2 if they score? Caleb airmails more. Fourth and fourth. The 14 with 27 seconds left. Caleb under duress. Ends up 26 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Throws it from the 40 off his back foot into the end zone. Touchdown. Commit. Oh my God, and they go for 1 and we're going overtime. My God, insanity.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the numbers game here at Circa, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. We are efforting Wes Reynolds there in Miami, so it gives us time to, it's almost like we planned it, can finish this Bears game. So I just want to say this last play again. 4th and 4, last play in regulation for the Bears. 4th and 4, the 14 with 27 seconds left. Caleb, like, 3 Rams are chasing him. He goes 26 yards behind the line of scrimmage to the 40. And off his back foot, Cole Kmet and Durant, I believe it was, are arm fighting. Kmet gets behind Durant, and he catches it, and a touchdown. And we're about to find out if Ben Johnson goes for 1 or 2. He ends up going for 1. But when that happened, I have only had that reaction, my visceral reaction, one time before, when Stephon Diggs caught the Minneapolis Miracle. I was at the Aria Sportsbook. I was in one of those cushioned chairs, and my body just reflexively, I slid down in my chair, and my hands went over my head. Yesterday, I'm home alone on my couch, and the exact same reaction. And I was reminded of that play. I've never had that reaction. I'm getting chills. I've never had that reaction to any other plays besides those two. And Caleb Williams, I mean, Merrill Hodge, it's not aging well.
I want to know how many people were exactly like me, though, as he's dropping back and continues to drop back, right? This is my thought process before that ball gets cut loose. It's, Caleb, this is what they've been killing you about for 2 years. Yeah. You're about to end the game the way they... Oh, never mind.
It's like
they've been killing you for this same thing. He throws it up there. And this is where I go. Durant, you got to sell that better, man. You got to... I mean, I don't know what that was.
It's like the high school basketball... Oh, yeah, we didn't sell it.
I still don't know what happened. I was talking to the crew about it this morning.
It was hand fighting.
There was hand fighting. I get it. Cole Kmet is way bigger than him.
Yeah, I don't think it was offense.
But it was like... He looked like he got... like, it looked like he thought the ball was going to be short of the goal line and like detached from Kmet.
Caleb Williams, what a season. Like, Washington season last year was filled with like 18 play drives and amazing fourth down conversions, but it was always like 4th and short for Jaden where he would just, you know, he'd manipulate it, he'd run for it, or he'd find the right receiver in short yardage. Every once in a while it was long, but this Bears magic carpet ride is just, I know it came to an end. What a season. I know you didn't win the Super Bowl. I know you didn't win the NFC, but you got to be thrilled if you're a Bears fan at what you saw. If you have some time to let it marinate. But anyway, we go to overtime. So Ben Johnson decides he's kicking the extra point. We're going overtime. Chicago wins the toss. They elect to kick. Again, the announcers say, oh, they want to know what the other team's doing. But no one ever says there is some value in the postseason to having the ball third as well, because if you go 0-0 or 3-3 or 7-7, then you're in the catbird seat. So there's a case for both. The Rams go 3 and out when Corum's hit for a 2-yard loss on a pitch. By the way, what was that call? Pitch.
Yeah.
Right, for McVay. I don't know what McVay was doing in this game. I really don't. 3rd and 1 at their own 36, by the way, when they had the 2-yard loss. Then Chicago needing just a field goal to win. 3rd and 4 at their own 34, Caleb for 4. Then 3rd and 6 at their own 42 to Komet for 5. Then 4th and 1 at their own 47, Caleb for 3 to midfield. So, remember, they just need a field goal to win this. The Chicago Bears are on the cusp of getting to the NFC Championship game and knocking out what many people feel is the best team in the league in the Rams. After Manungai gets 2 yards, they're at the Rams 48. Caleb looks for DJ Moore deep. DJ Moore, instead of doing a hard right to the open field where he's supposed to be, does this kind of rounded, lollygagging, lazy route. And as a result, Cam Curl has a shot at picking it, which he does, skins great Cam Curl, on the dive, and it's a game-changing, game-altering, season-altering pick. Wow. What was DJ Moore doing? Not on Caleb. It was not Caleb's fault. Broke off the route, just did it really weird. Rams from their own 22. Puka for 4, to Parkinson for 15. Then an impossible pass to Devontae, who toe-taps for 12 in Bears territory. 3 plays later, 3rd and 6 of the Chicago 43. Dennis Allen, who I lauded last week, he blitzes the DB checking Puka. What are you doing? Stafford Nacua, who fights for 16 to the Chicago 27. Corum for 3, then incomplete to Ferguson, who can't hang on to it at the goal line for the touchdown. Mevis comes in for a 42-yard field goal. Bang. Rams win. Rams go to the NFC Championship. Bears eliminated. Whew. Unbelievable.
How obvious does it feel like every time the Puka Nacua end around happens?
Oh, yeah.
Like, as soon as he starts in motion, like, Puka's getting the ball.
I get it. We'll get to the Niners and Seahawks. I don't know how much we have to give. We'll probably give it like 3 minutes time total because that game was ridiculous. But I just think even in victory, what was Sean McVay was, you might not win Dumbo of the Week because D'Amico's punt was up there and there's some other stuff that went on. Yeah. But good God, where was your head in this game?
I mean, nobody's surprised that the LA Rams are in the NFC Championship game. I'm surprised they're stumbling into it the way they have been.
Well, looking forward to part 3 of that, where the team split, the Rams and the Seahawks, earlier in the year.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check out the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com. Scan the QR code for more. We get tweets beating the book. Billy Shakes at Billy Shakes 15. Premature CJ Stroud funerals, he says. Caleb improved significantly when the Bears replaced D'Amico Ryan's, Matt Eberflus with Ben Johnson. He did a little Jim Rome thing. Scuba. Yeah. Listen, by the way, Billy Shakes, I think you're right with all this stuff. We say this about pitchers and baseball starting pitchers. We're way too judgmental too quickly. But CJ Stroud, I'm all about. The only issue with Stroud is, who was it? Jack Larkin from Sport Trade had a great tweet yesterday to me. He goes, there's seeing ghosts, there's having the yips, and then there's whatever CJ Stroud had going on.
Yes.
So that's the only thing that's worrisome. It's because a regular season, I kind of will trust him again, but then I'll always have in the back of my mind, yeah, but what happens in the playoffs now? Scuba Scott.
I mean, you're talking about a couple years in a row too, right? Like we've been wondering all regular season, where did CJ Stroud go? And then you get to this level, like whatever that was 10 times worse than what we've seen out of him the regular season.
Yeah, after a while, it's a thing. You can't excuse it off by other things. Scuba Scott. Greetings from Kenosha, Wisconsin. Current temperature -3, -3. Wind chill -30. The wind chill. I was in Miami this weekend, not for the Natty, but for unrivaled basketball. Family members and official. Best part of my weekend: Sunday breakfast at the Bagel Palace. Nothing like a kosher deli to start your day. Oh, Scuba Scott, can't wait to be there. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer. With the penny being phased out, we need to update the pretty penny to reflect this reality. I think a numbers game should be the initiator of the nifty nickel idiom. What would you pay for those tickets and to go to the ball game tonight, Wes? Nifty nickel.
Oh, man. Just,
he wouldn't tell us the price, would he? He was very shy about the price. Chris Heath, missed hour one. I'm in Reno. Boomers is not open at GSR yet. I won $850 on Kyron Williams, 2+ touchdowns, and $200 on video poker. Time to go home and teach sixth graders. Nicely done, Chris.
There you go.
And Jordan Pagel, am I the only one who thought the Bears made a mistake not taking the ball first in overtime? Not only do you get the advantage of a potential third possession, but you put the Rams defense right back on the field after having given up that momentum-changing touchdown. Jordan, I pointed out the again, with all the announcers, everybody thinks they're like super smart saying, well, you want to kick it because then you know what you have to do on the drive. Okay. I don't know why I say that like Bill Cosby, by the way. Then you got to know what the pudding pops. I don't know why I said it like that. But yes, you're exactly right. In postseason, right? In postseason playoff format, having the ball third is a big deal because if you go 0-0, 3-3, or 7-7, you're in the catbird seat. None of the announcers ever seem to point this out. Because remember, Kyle Shanahan got destroyed for doing this against Patrick Mahomes. Now, perhaps you can make the argument, yeah, but it's Patrick Mahomes, so you definitely don't want to do it the way he did it. Okay, maybe there is some validity to that. But generally speaking, I came in the next morning, I was like, there's a case for what Kyle Shanahan did. They'd actually spoken about it beforehand. They knew what they were doing. So I'm with you. And yes, the point you make about having the defense have to go back on the field immediately, not a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hyde, question. What would the Wes Reynolds Indiana football experience be for other folks? For Gil, HDTR, undefeated Super Bowl run for the Skins. Kelly, a magical night playing blackjack, pummeling Fezzik at the tables before being shuffled out onto the street by a casino. Really thrilled for Wes and his run. As folks in the media know, it's not always easy to be a fan and still enjoy things the way a civilian does. He's getting to experience something a lot of fans never get to. Good for Wes. Couldn't be happier for him.
That's incredible.
And Bainbridge DeWeese, if the Dimmer player had not made the interception and the ball, it just landed incomplete, I don't think anyone would be arguing it should have been a catch. He says it should have been a catch. If the Denver player had not made the interception and the ball had just landed incomplete,
right.
I don't think anyone would be arguing it should have been a catch. Bainbridge, I disagree with you. I explained again. I couldn't explain any more clearly why one is a catch and one is not. Why Devontae Adams is a catch, why the Brandon Cooks is not. I know people want to make a controversy of this. There just isn't one. There is one game we didn't talk about, probably because it doesn't deserve the most, but it also happened to work out in chronological order this way, which is because we talked about the Rams win over the Bears, and perhaps not enough because it was just insanity, as was the Bills-Broncos game. But then obviously the Rams are traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks in the NFC Championship. I mentioned, I guessed 2.5 on this. This one I did get right. It is 2.5 in favor of the Seahawks, whereas the Broncos one, I guessed 4. Patriots favored by 4, and it's 5.5, which seems like a lot. But for those who missed it, you didn't miss much. Saturday night in Seattle, where the tone was set on the very first thing that happened. Rashid Shaheed, 95 yards to the house. Pinheiro with a yeoman's effort to try to trip him on the play. 7-0 Seahawks.
Yeah, wow.
13 seconds into the game. And immediately, for those of us of a certain age, you were reminded of 1980s playoff games between the Giants when they were great and somebody, the Niners when they were great and somebody, the Redskins when they were great and somebody. The Bears, when they had their one season of greatness against somebody, they just destroyed their opponent. San Francisco would get the ball down 7-0 at the 40 after the kickoff was short of the landing zone. Purdy was hit as he throws. This play will get lost in history. The ball's loose. It was scooped up by Seattle to the house, but ruled incomplete. So it was like, oh, good God. I thought it was going to be 14-0 there before. But see, here's Kyle Shanahan. 4th-and-1 at the Seattle 40. Remember this? They're only down 7-0. They 4th-and-1 in plus territory at the Seattle 40. And by the way, McDonald's calling for a timeout. The refs don't see it. And Shanahan goes with Juszczyk to the right with an option to pitch to McCaffrey. Strung out by the Seattle D, results in a Juszczyk fumble and a stop.
Yeah, overthought that one.
Because of all the things you want to do is have Kyle Juszczyk go east-west. What are we doing? Anyway, we 10-0 a little later on. 10-0. And San Francisco, second place, 2nd-and-7 at their own 31. Purdy to Tongas for 11, stripped by Ernest Jones in the 4th, recovered by Julian Love. Seattle set up at the San Francisco 42, overcome a terrible Darnold sack on the first play. They go four plays later, including a big PI on Siegel. Darnold to JSN from 4 out. Great pass, 17-0 Seahawks. then they would get, the Niners would get two Pinheiro field goals to make it 17-3, and then a 56-yarder to make it 17-6. Pinheiro was awesome this year. And then Seattle from their own 20 with 4:32 left in the half, 10 plays, 80 yards on a drive where Charbonnet has to go to the tent after running straight into winners. Shahid for 30, the big chunk into the 2-minute warning. 6 plays later, Walker in from 7, 24-6. The Niners would get a Hail Mary off, but by the way, Tom just had a shot at it and he dropped it. Incomplete. Third quarter, more of the same. San Francisco get it to 4th-and-2 at the Seattle 44. Purdy sacked by Leonard Williams. Seattle set up at the San Francisco 42. We learn that Christian McCaffrey has a stinger. He played more, but he was in pain the rest of the way, which is just a symbol of the Niners season. Myers would add a field goal 27-6 halfway through the third. Then San Francisco second play, 1st-and-10, their own 42. Purdy, with all the time in the world, picked by Ernest Jones. Luke Farrell appeared to not want it as much. Seattle then set up at the San Francisco 47, 6 plays, Walker in from 15, 34-6, late third. Then San Francisco 4th-and-3 at their own 38, Purdy running for his life, incomplete. At that point, the broadcast lets us know that Purdy had run for 340 yards on 29 dropbacks, averaging 4.31 seconds average time to throw, the most since 2016. Not because he wanted all that time, but because he was running for his life. Seattle from the San Francisco 38, 5 plays, all Walker rushes in from 6, 41-6 with 12:43 left. And then finally, San Francisco 2nd-and-7 at the Seattle 39. Purdy sacked by DeMarcus Lawrence, fumbles, recovered by Nick Imanwari. Purdy ends up with 413 yards traveled on the ground. 9:12 left in the game. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was it. Because with 9:12 left, both teams kind of tacitly agreed, we're done. Drew Locke came in. Mac Jones came in. That's your ball game. The Niners' streak of consecutive seasons either getting to at least the conference championship game or missing the playoffs gets snapped.
What a weird streak.
23 years gone. We get a text. We get tweets and texts. This is a text from a noted Niners fan and the guy who, my buddy who runs the studio over at the Wind, Jeremiah Crow. He says, regarding Shanahan, strange how in a 2-hour span I went from considering him for coach of the year to wondering if the franchise might be better off going a different direction. Unquestionably a top 3 offensive mind in the game, but it's a results business, no? Aren't we well past the bad luck and coincidence phases? Yeah. Though again, the postscript to the Niners season for me is still, this team accomplished way more than any team could have been expected to with all the injuries.
It's fine getting through the regular season with their record. That's one thing. The schedule was soft. This is where the injuries show up, yep. Right? Yep. I mean, they got wrecked, though. They got wrecked.
And Fred Warner was on the sidelines. He would have been there next week.
There's nothing better for a defensive stacked team like that to get the opening kick returned for a touchdown. Spot yourself 7
it's
points.
It's like, over. Oh, right at that point, you knew the bet was over. 50% chance of precipitation in Seattle on Sunday. Who you got?
I got a 6-1 on the Seahawks to win the NFC.
There you go.
And make a bet last night. 2.5s across the board.
Remember, game one, the Rams won by 2 points, largely because they pinned a punt at the 1-yard line and Myers missed a 61-yard field goal. And game two was the instant classic on Thursday night with that 2-point conversion that was a lateral that somehow got counted. Remember that? And the Seahawks won it in overtime.